Дальше. Давайте же.
Medrash goes through the words and explains that it's going on the Golas of Klal Yisrael. Tayu is Golas Babel, Vayu is Golas Madai, and Choshech is Golas Yavan. Why is that? Dr. Medrash, Shechei Neim Shal Yisrael, because I say, Shai Semes Lahem, Kisu Lachem Aken, Asher Shein Lachem Alechelik Belekei Yisrael. The Yavanim. What was the Xeris of the Yavanim? They told the Klal Yisrael to write on the Keren Asher that you have no chelik in Elokei Yisrael being a part of this nation of Klal Yisrael. We're trying to understand what does Yavan have to do with Choshech? Well, the other Galus in Klal Yisrael suffered so much. Why Dafki Yavan? Yavan reminds us of Choshech. We know the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Nechanaka, Mitzvah Chavivi Ad Ma'id. The famous words of the Rambam, he doesn't write this by any other mitzvah. So chavim by the Rebbeinu Shalom, Vetzach Adam Lizar Ba. On the Gemara Shabbos, on the Chav Gimel Amud Beis, says something that we all hope for. Every father and parent is mistal for his children. Aragel b'nei avalei bonim tamid echachamim. Someone who's ragel b'nei, he's going to be zeicha. What's ner? If he lights ner as Chanukah, he lights ner as Chanukah, he's going to be zeicha. The bonim tamid echachamim. Hazar b'mezuzah. Someone who's nizir mezuzah. Zeicha l'dir anor. He'll have a nice dir, a nice apartment, a nice house. Hazar b'tzitzis, zeicha l'talas no. Hazar b'kiddush ha'yoyim, zeicha gavi yayin. So we see everything that you're nizirin, you're zohar in a mezuzah, you're going to get a nice apartment. It's understandable because a mezuzah has to do, you put it on your bias, you put it on the entranceway, so you're going to have a nice apartment. You have nice tzitzis. So you'll be zeicha to a nice talas. Okay, makes sense. You're drinking wine for Kiddush, you'll be zeicha to have a good bottle of wine. But how come when it comes to Ner Chanukah, you're going to be zeicha to Banim Tamid HaChachamim? What's the connection? Someone who's Zohar in Ner Chanukah is going to be zeicha to Banim Tamid HaChachamim. In this week's parasha, we see that there are two dreams. Yosef comes into jail, and there's a Sarah Oifim and a Sarah Mashkin. And they come and they tell over the dreams to Yosef. And Yosef, he interprets them differently. When it comes, Pasuk says, he meets Yosef, he sat with Sarah Mashkin, and Sarah Mashkin goes ahead and tells him his cholam. He says, "B'chaloimi, b'kois pare, b'yodi, b'ekachas hanafim, b'eschet oisim al-kois pare." And Yosef tells him, "This is the pisrei. What is the pisrei of your cholam in 3 more days? In 3 days from now, you're going to go back. Ve'eshel al-kanecho v'nesata. You're going to go back to pare, and like never before, you'll be back to Sarah Mashkin." And the Sarah Mashkin sees, you know, it's worth it. Let me tell over Yosef my dream also, and he tells over Yosef his dream. And Yosef tells him some bad news. In 3 days from now, you're going to come to Paray. Yisa Paray Yisraishcha. Paray is going to knock off your head. The Tala Yisra Aleitz, he's going to be hanging on a tree. What's the difference? That over here, when it comes to Sarah Mashkim, Yosef is so kind with him and tells him such a nice pisrin, and when it comes to Sarah Oifim, he was expecting to hear that nice pisrin, and that didn't happen. What's the difference? The dream sounds very similar. There was once a story with a peasant, not particularly smart, and a happy person, and he would go and schlep every day, he would schlep his packages. And one day he starts thinking, you know, why was I created with feet? Why do I need legs? He says, you know, well, it makes a lot of sense. Probably there's someone that created me and he decided that I'm going to need to go ahead one day and schlep big heavy packages. I need feet to carry, to walk. And then he goes to his body and he says, you know, why hands? Well, makes a lot of sense. How else should I hold on to those packages? And he says, well, how about a stomach? What is in your stomach? To hold, to put the hands and the feet together. Sure. He worked everything out and he continues on and he goes, so why do I need eyes? Oh, because I can see where I'm going. And a mouth, like I can talk. And ears, to listen. And everything makes sense by him. Everything makes sense and he continues walking on. And he gets to a stop and he starts thinking, so why do I have from here to here? There's no pshat. This part you don't need. Everything else in the body makes sense, but this part does not need it. Sure, he's very bothered. His wife, he comes home that day and his wife sees him, he's a mensch. What happens? He says, I understand everything what God created me for, but what do I need this for? Sure, the next day he goes back to work and he's walking home again. Comes up, stops again, and he has a machshava. He wears a cowboy hat. And imagine, the head would start over here, he wouldn't be able to see. It's like this, he has this part of the head, is there to hold his hat. Murdering a chiddush. And he comes home and he's all excited, he tells his wife, Baruch Hashem shekivamti, I understand now why I have this hat. Shun. We're all laughing at this person. Some tippish, this is like the Shaina there, Lishal and the Manishtar, and the Agada, who's that guy? This guy, this is Boris, or whatever his name is, that he doesn't understand why he chapped the Pesapikas, why I need that part of my head. But what's the real tachlis? What is the story showing us? That the mayach of the head, that is the most important part of our body. But we also sometimes go ahead and use that part of our head, the most important part, our brains, we don't use it to its full potential. We use it for dvarim, stadim, shtusim, not for the tachlis of what it's meant for. So we understand better than that it's not just to keep a hat on the head. But what's the tachlis of chayim? Sometimes we forget, and we're using our brain for things that aren't important, that aren't really important to us. And that's not what we were created for. Yosef HaTzadik, he hears the two dreams. The Sarah Mashkim tells him, Nusata Kois Parah B'Yodoi, Kois Parah B'Yodi Ve'ekach HaSanovim Ve'eschat Oysam Al Kois Parah. So he tells him he's going to work with his hands. So that Yaakov interprets the dream and tells him that you're going to end up being again back. But what's the Sarayfim's dream? The Sarayfim tells him, I have 3 baskets on my head. One is your tachlis with your head. This Sarayfim, his dream was that his head's going to be used for baskets, holding baskets. He's this peasant, he's this Boris, he's this Amoretz, that has no seichel and thinks that that's what the head is made for. Yosef tells him, what's the pisin of your dream? V'yisa esroish sha'amashkim, v'yisa esroish Fire is going to chop off your head. If this is the tachlis of your head, you don't need that head b'chlal. That's the pisrin that Yosef realized, that if you're dreaming, that that's what you were created for. That's the most important part of your body, is the whole basket. So he tells him, Ibazai, discourage that. You have no reason to live. Let's try to understand, what is chayshach? What does it mean, darkness? Maseiros Yesharim in Perek Gimel explains us. He says, when someone walks into a dark room, he says sometimes it's so dark that a person, shalayir mashal afan of klal, he won't recognize at all what he's seeing. But sometimes he says, sheyitah ha'isa ha'chiyir le'amud, he'll see a beam. Ki'ilu adam, va'adam ki'ilu amud. He's going to see a person and he's going to think it's a beam. Kain chumriyiz v'gashmiyiz ha'ilam hazeh. Darkness does not have to mean that you don't see. Darkness can mean that you don't understand what you're seeing. You see things the opposite. This thing is supposed to look like, it's supposed to be a beam and you think it's a person. Or it's a person and you look at him like a beam. That's darkness. What does that mean? If a person would understand why is he in this world, the tachlis of a person, why he came down, why the Bnei Shalom brought him down to this world, so then he's seeing light. But if he constantly keeps on going without thinking, and he doesn't realize the tachlis achayim, so he's missing light, he's missing art. The story of Chaim Wasserman. Came to America after trying to raise funds for his yeshiva in Branovich throughout Europe. It wasn't enough, it wasn't suffice, and he went this trip to America, the journey to America. He was here for a year and a half. And he was sitting here for a few weeks, then obviously it wasn't that matzliach. It was those before the war, there was no one that was looking to give money, yeshiva in Branovich. And he bumps into a person and he tells him, there's this real gvir. A wealthy man, his name is so-and-so, and maybe he'll give you something, but he says that he never ever gave anyone yet to any, he's not from, he never gave anyone, but you know, maybe. And Mechonon asks this person again, what's his name? He says his name is so-and-so. He says, what are you talking about? He was my chavrusa and my cheda, he was together with me. So this person says, good luck. He's not going to want to know of you. Try. And he comes. And Bechanan knocks on this person's door. Obviously, he can't see him. The secretary. And the secretary says, what's your name? He says, my name is Bechanan Wasserman. Tell him his friend 50 years ago. Remember? And she goes into her boss. And she tells him that someone, Bechanan Wasserman, is coming to see you. He says, Bechanan Wasserman, let me see him. Comes in. Start schmoozing, and the schmoozing, what happened? Then he tells Rabbi Chanan, you were the mitzuyan of the classroom, what happened to you? He says, I had to teach a few boys. And going a nice conversation, he says, what happened to you? He says, I came here, and business was so hard. Everyone knows the early days in America when people came back, and you had to work on Shabbos, and you went masliach, and every week was another job again. And he tells him, and look, how matzliach I am. I didn't use those words, matzliach. He was not looking to use those words. He says, I became fry, and I have the biggest coat factory in New York City. And he's telling him how many workers he has under him. Chon's listening. And so then he's schmoozing for a while. And Chon tells him, okay, ready to get up, to go. Make a mention about collecting. And he asks Chon, why did you come? So Chanan says, I came to see you, good friend, 50 years ago. I haven't seen you for that many years. So he says, come on, stop this. It makes no sense. You came to see me because you didn't see me for 50 years. You... No. And he continues on, and he tries to get it out of Chanan. And Chanan says, you know, Maybe tomorrow I'll explain to you. And this person can't sleep all night. The next morning he tells the secretary, go cool him down, I need to get him back in. And comes into Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chanan comes in, and Rabbi Chanan says, again, so what are you doing here? And Rabbi Chanan stands up and shows him, you see, I have a frack. You can imagine what that frack looked like. And he says that, I don't know if you ever saw a frack, but come to later, you see plenty of them, but there's two buttons in the back. And he says, you see, I have one button and the other button I'm missing. Sure, then I heard you're the biggest coat factory. You probably have a button matching this, the top part of the frack and the bottom part didn't match either, but the buttons, Mark put on the buttons to match. And he goes, and he's saying with all seriousness, Rabbi Chanan, I needed the buttons to match, and I figured I'm going to make this. And this guy gets up in the middle, he starts screaming at him, you think I'm such a fool? I understand I wasn't you in the classroom, but you think I'm such a fool, that's why you did this? And Rabbi Chanan looks at him and says, well, why not? He says, he starts explaining to Rabbi Chanan, he says, you made a journey, you came by boat for these weeks to travel, and you don't even have a place to stay for a button on your frack. How could a button on your jacket, that's why you travel? How could you teach students? And Rabbi Chanan's listening and taking it all in. And then Rabbi Chanan tells him, so you hear what you're saying. You're telling me that the person won't travel that many miles, thousands of miles to come to appreciate this button on his frack. So he says that our neshama comes from thousands of miles away. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave it to you when you were created. And you think that the tachlis is for a few dollars. You think that the tachlis is for you to be Mechal Shabbos. You think that's what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants from you. To make such a far journey to leave the Rebbeinu Shlom, the Kisei HaKavod. And the neshama leaves the Kisei HaKavod to come into your body. And you think that the tachlis is to be busy with Nairishkeit. How could that be, Zakta Bachalam? You said it out of your own mouth that there has to be a tachlis to something. The end of the story is not so relevant, but Lamai Segret, he supported the yeshiva for 6 months, and he met a chavush shachar Rabbi Chanan that year that he was here, and he became frum. He was surely right to matzliach. But that's not the point that we're bringing out. Rabbi Chanan was teaching us a lesson. We can come down to this world, our neshama comes down to this world, that we can be busy with narishkeit. We can be busy, get distracted with nonsense. And here, you can sit and learn for a few kvei hitam l'tayra. You can do a ma'aseh chesed. You can daven a little bit more with seriousness. Instead, we just run our lives. We don't stop. We don't stop to think what we're here in this world for. Yavan is chayshach. Chayshach, like we explained from the Mesilas Yesharim. What does chayshach mean? Not just darkness that you can't see. It's darkness that gets you confused. You're not seeing right. You're bumping into a person and you think he's a beam. Or you're bumping into a beam and you think it's a person. That's darkness. That's Yavan. Yavan can't understand. Can't understand Chachma Satayr. They want their own Chachma. What's the pshat? Because they see that Tayr turns over a person. Is Mahapach a person? They can't. That doesn't sit with them. That Chachma, you could learn all the Chachmas of Sharumas, but that doesn't change the person. It might be ethical, but we see what ethics means. After what's going on now in anti-Semitism today with all the ethics. One Mesilas Yesharim explaining us Midas Taivis of a person. Limud HaTorah, learning one black Gemara, turns over a person. And I can truly say this Kail is Mayan, that it's not just turning over a person, it can turn over a town. I was here 10, 12, how many years ago? And look what this Kail did. That's what Yavan can't understand. They don't want this, they want to fight it. This is what Yavan is here all about, to fight this Chachma Satayra, because they realize that Chachma Satayra is what we're mitzliachim. Chachma Satayra takes over people, and it takes over, makes them feel good about themselves. So some people aren't so smart, and they can't learn that much, but the person goes ahead and learns a little bit. He realizes that it's going to be mahapach, the person is going to change. You're going to be a different person. And the beginning is hard. But when a person gets used to it, and it grows with him, it's going to have such a geschmack. You know, there's a Gemara Yuma. The Gemara Yuma says, we're going to come up to Shemayim. Gemara says that they're going to ask us, Kavati Itam Atayra. And there's excuses, everyone's going to have their excuse. I was too poor, I couldn't afford it. They're going to tell you, you know, there was someone called Hillel HaZaken. And Hillel HaZaken went ahead and was extremely poor. He made one trepek a day, the Gemara says. One coin a day, half of it he would give to the doorman of the Smedrash. He used to have to pay to come to Dorn Kaival. And he would have to pay to come into the Ebbe Smedrash. And half of it he would give to his family. And he walked in there, and one Friday morning, he comes in. It wasn't matzliach, he didn't make any money. He tried to sell his goods, it didn't work, it wasn't matzliach. So Hillel HaZaken comes to the doorman and says, you know, we have connections, I have to text, I'm here every day. No. A rule's a rule, the doorman does not let you in. Hillel goes up and he says, what's up, Tom? He goes up to the skylight, and he starts listening to the Limud HaTorah. And Hillel is there all night, and we know the Gemara says the story that the next morning they come into the Beis Medrash and they see it's dark in the room and they look up to the skylight and they see Hillel laying there and it was freezing, snowy, and they bring him down and they have to light a fire on Shabbos to wake him up again. So Hillel HaZaken, you're going to come up to Shemayim, us, me, you, all. When you come to Shemayim, we say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you didn't make me igve, I had to work for a living. I didn't have time to learn. And they're going to tell you, Hillel HaZaken, who lived 2,000 years ago, he was a great man, you should have been like Hillel HaZaken. Now if you go into your classroom, or you go anywhere, and you tell your children, okay, let's go Hillel HaZaken, you'll be the next, I don't know where they should put you exactly, that's not today. You don't tell someone what he should be like. You know, imagine they tell you you should be like a Yashar, Chaim Kanievsky, someone that maybe you saw once in your lifetime. So someone that you feel somewhat connected. I mean, that's also something that's out of our reach and out of our... But Hillel HaZaken, there was one Hillel HaZaken in all the generations of Klal Yisrael. And we're telling every single Yid that's going to come up to Shemayim, why weren't you like Hillel HaZaken? How could that be? We don't know who Hillel's father was. You know who Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father was? Was the stipler. His shver was Abba Yashar. So it came out of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Every person in this room has to be Reb Chaim. It's impossible. How can it be that we're asking every single Jew, why weren't you like Hillel HaZaken? I think the answer is, there was once a Yid that Nebuch Yishlaim, a Yid, he wasn't so matzliach. And wasn't happy, didn't have anything to put on the table. So he would go ahead and make himself happy. How do you get yourself happy? You go ahead and drink a little bit. And he would get himself sick, and that makes a person happy sometimes. So he goes ahead, and he became a shikker. A nice person, but this one had to be done. And one day, his wife tells him Friday afternoon, she tells him, you know, Machni Yudashuk, we have no money, we need food for Shabbos, go to Machni Yudashuk over there, we can't afford it, now it's cheap, go buy a few, here's a few shkalim, go buy food for Shabbos, he's 100%, he's a good husband. And he goes, fine, it's a half hour, an hour, his wife's starting to get nervous, where is he? And she goes ahead, and she tells the children, close to Shabbos, could you go find Abba? And they go, they're looking for Machni Yudashuk, they didn't hear anything on the news, Baruch Hashem, everything's gewaldig, and where is he? They're searching for him. And finally, they decided, you know, maybe let's check the Beis Hayayin. Into the bar, they go in and they see him laying on the floor. And they schlep him home. And he's sleeping.
A few hours later he wakes up and his wife goes over to him so dearly, so tells him, what did you do? I asked you for one favor. Why did you do this to me? And he says, well, you think I went there to become a shikr? I went there to drink a little bit of wine, a little bit of schnapps. What's that going to do for me already? But it's nimshach, pulls me along, and it started from one cup to another cup, and it continued on. That's what that cup of wine did to me. Hillel HaZaken comes up, and he sees they're not letting him in the smedrash. So he says, you know what? Let me give it 5 minutes. I know it's cold outside. You're not going to be my senefesh for leaving that day. He wasn't allowed to do anything. But he said, for 5 minutes, I can do it. And he comes into the Mismedesh, he hears on tap, and he hears his Rebbe Shemaya saying a kasha on a Mishnah in the Gaim. He's Mechadish a Mishnah. What a Geshmaka Mishnah. So Hillel says, you know what? I was there for 5 minutes. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty okay. Let me stay another 5 minutes. Let me hear what Avtalion is going to go ahead and ask him on that Mishnah. And he stays for another 5 minutes from Avtalion. And then he says, you know, I'm still okay. Let me stay for another 5 minutes. Let me hear what the other Talmidim are asking. Let me hear if there's a Mishashak and a Tayy going on over here. And he stayed for another 5 minutes. And he stayed another 5 minutes. And it came an hour and two. Because Tayyu was so geshmak, Tayyu was kiyem chayenu. That was Hillel HaZaken. We're not going to ask you to be like Hillel HaZaken. That's not the question the Baruch Hashem is going to ask you. But he's going to ask you, why would you give it a few minutes a day? Why would you give out to eat him? Every yachid has to be kavat to eat him with Tayyu. Give it a try. That's a tachlis. We're here for a tachlis. That's Chanukah. What's Chanukah? Chonu. Rest. Stop. Your whole life you're running. You forgot to think a little bit. That this part of your head is here for a reason. It's not here to hold your cowboy hat. It's here to fill it up with geschmack, with ruchnius. That's the chat. Why we're here with the Yevonim, fighting the Yevonim. That's the tachlis achayim. Choshech is Yavon. Yavon tries to stop us from thinking. Yavon is here to tell us, stop the Chochmas HaTayah, go into the Chochmas Umas HaOlam, go into ethics, go try to understand other things. That is the tachlis of us. Fakat, they keep us dark. What do they want? Don't be mahapach the thing. Don't think a beam is a person and a person's a beam. That's what we're here for. That's what Chanukah is all about. And Kalaragel b'ner, the ner is Oya Teira. You look at the candles, you stay there a little bit, and you misbite in what's going on. That one candle can light up a whole world. One biskoil of tanning your light can light up a whole city. This is the Gesta Eidus. This is nice Chanukah itself standing up here and watching this community come together. That was emptiness, and now it's full because of the Chochmas HaTayah. This is the Eidus, this is the Nes Chanukah, we should be Zaycha. I still have a few more stories, but we should be Zaycha. Kalaragu b'na'a v'leibanim tamidah chachamim. Every single parent wants to see nachas from their children. Every single parent. In Klal Yisrael, the Gresh the Yisurim is when a father comes over to me and cries to me and tells me that I'm matzliach in business, I'm matzliach in everything, but I'm ready to give it all up. That my son should just be a halachiyit. That is what we want. So on that Chazal tell us, Kalaragu b'ner, that's the biggest bracha that we can have. Is Avibanu Tamid Chachamim. What does it mean, Ragu b'ner? You put some thought into the light. Not just you light it and run away. You put thought into it. You think about it. Rebbeinu Shlom, I want the Chachma from Chachmas Artayra, not Chachmas Yevonis. With that we should all be Zaycha. That this community should thrive. And this should be the community that's going to come along to the Beis HaMikdash from Heira, that we so miss it, we thought we had friends in the world, we see that we're alone, that anti-Semitism is stronger than ever. This is the Yantif, this is the next Chanukah that we can be Zeicha to the Ha'ar Chodosh, I'll see you in Tav, Mehevi, Amen, Amen.
The boys prepared a song with Mr. Majeski. So
Smart. Oh, okay. There it is. It's coming.